Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 2nd, 2014. And with me today, I have the incredibly awesome Brian Chaffin. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
And an equally incredibly awesome Dave Hamilton. Hey, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for being on. I do appreciate that you guys take time out of your incredibly busy schedules to entertain me, because really it is about entertaining me.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys are fantastic at it. So I was thinking today we could kind of have a theme for the show, which would be sort of a security kind of thing. And this comes out of a couple stories that you wrote, Brian, over the holiday weekend. And and by the way, thank you for taking time out of your holiday weekend to make sure that
yep.
we had important stuff up there for our readers. You rock. Yeah. So the first thing that I wanted to look at was this whole thing about using heat sensor cameras, the FLIR camera, which is an attachment, or the FLIR one, it's an attachment you can get for the iPhone to steal people's PIN codes.
Yeah, essentially the FLIR one camera is really cool. We covered it at CES, we covered it at Macworld, and it's shipping and it's cool. And you know, you and I both were thrilled when we saw it, but it does have potentially dark side, and that's where it can be used.
But hang on, Brian, can you do me a favor? Because I think I know what the FLIR one camera is, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Of course, it's a thermal imaging camera,
and that's an important piece.
That is a very important piece. And what the FLIR one does is it brings thermal imaging to the realm of easily affordable to a lot more people, because it's using your iPhone for its smarts.
And it wraps around your iPhone just like any other case. So it's very discreet.
Yeah, no one's going to realize that you've got a FLIR one, which is fine. It's not a problem. The problem comes from when motorcycles are outside on the highway doing really loud things. But the other problem comes from how it can be used to detect a heat signature on a keypad that can quite easily be used to get your PIN code.
Sure, because the keys you're touching as you enter your PIN code will be warmer than the other keys.
Right, and so if you're able to look at a keypad within a minute after someone else touched it, assuming it's only the one person that touched it, you have a very, very good shot at being able to figure out what their PIN codes are. And that is obviously a huge security problem.
So you wouldn't get the order, but you would get the, say, four digits that they typed, and then it's just a matter of hacking very
quickly. You get the order, too, because
the warmer the key, the more recent touch.
Is it that sensitive, though? I mean, I know yes. when I type in my PIN, you know, I'm doing it in a matter of a second, right? Maybe a second and a half. Is it really can see the delta there between the first one I typed, you know, half a second ago?
In the example that we were shown, yes.
Yep. Wow.
Now,
because even if you didn't get the order, that's trivial.
Correct.
Right. And even if you can tell, this was an earlier key press, this was a later key press, well, when you're talking about four-digit codes, you've really narrowed down the combinations.
Right. Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah, it's something. It's something. There's a couple of things you could do. For the short version is that if you're dealing with a metal keypad, you're probably going to be okay, because those just reflect the infrared light that's being used by the camera to get its image, right? So it's not going to record anything, despite the fact that it's metal. Plus, actually, metal is dissipating heat faster anyway. If you're dealing with a plastic or rubber keys, which is what a lot of grocery store keypads are going to be, just, you know, use your hand, use your other fingers to touch all of the keys as you're typing in your PIN code, and then the bad guy would get too much noise to signal.
Right, they'll be seeing too many hot keys.
Yes. And you'll be, and so watch the video.
You probably want to do more than just touch them. You want to wait until the transaction has processed. I mean, I haven't read the article, so correct me if I'm wrong, please. But it would seem like it simply resting my finger on one of the buttons versus pushing the button would probably leave a different heat signature, right? So after the transaction, probably best to go back and touch all the keys, including the ones that you typed for your PIN.
That's not a bad idea either.
I like that idea because you're right.
You know, just if you're just resting them all in. Yeah.
If you're resting your fingers across the keys you're not using, those will show hotter.
Or yeah, right. They could be. I mean, I was thinking perhaps incorrectly that pushing the key would make it hotter, but yeah, maybe it's a time thing, right? So yeah, either way, yeah. To your point, yep.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting. And, you know, changes in technology always bring something with it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And, you know, and the FLIR one is still really super neat. It's okay, you know, if you're interested in thermal imaging, it's a very, very cool product.
It is, but with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't ruin this for the rest of us, okay?
Yep.
Yeah, well, as Brian just said, we could argue that computers themselves should not be sold or used or part of our culture because it's possible to do bad things with them. But then we'd also have to take away hammers and cars and everything else.
Technically, I intimated that rather than said it.
Intimated, that's correct. I said inferred, right? I didn't say said.
Oh, okay, all right.
But I think that's what I said. That's what I meant to say. Oh, who knows?
Well, that's what we're going with.
That's why it's recorded. Yeah. You, as the listener, can go back and check.
Yes, we won't check.
Right.
No.
We'll just assume Dave said what he said, and there you go.
Good to go.
Yeah. Okay, so the other piece that I wanted to look at, which is another one that you wrote up, Brian, because you really were busy over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the news that a bunch of selfie shots, nude selfie shots, from several actresses were stolen by hackers. Who?
Yeah, as many as 100. Some of them have been called fakes by the actresses involved. Some of them have actually been acknowledged as being accurate. But they were stolen over an unknown period of time. The thief said that he, I'm assuming it's he, got them from hacked into their iCloud accounts, which may or may not be true, to get them. And then the photographs were culled, I should say, from PhotoStream accounts.
Okay. And
yeah, that's an interesting thing, right? Because PhotoStream, if you have PhotoStream turned on your iPhone and you take pictures, those are now uploaded to PhotoStream and available to anyone that has access to that.
Yep.
True. And I do use PhotoStream, so all of my photos are going there. And for me, it's a wonderful convenience because I have iPhoto on my main Mac set so that it just automatically copies everything from PhotoStream into my photo library. So
yeah.
I never have to think about syncing my iPhone to make sure my photos are getting over to my computer.
So this news hits over the weekend, and Apple on Monday, the holiday Monday, here in the States, if you're listening outside, released a statement that they were, quote unquote, actively investigating the reports. They also, and this is kind of this is a big deal. There was a hole in Find My iPhone, a gap.
What I would consider a very irresponsible hole on Apple's part.
Yes, in that it allowed unlimited tries to enter a password. And what that means is that Find My iPhone became a very easy brute force target, meaning that someone could, you know, Script Kiddy could take something like iBrute, which is a piece of software on GitHub that did exactly this, and just keep throwing passwords at that account until it found one that worked. So, against what's a brute force attack is all about. And Apple finally fixed this over this weekend after this news broke. We don't know that we don't know for sure that all these pictures came or any of these pictures came from iCloud. We certainly don't know if they were procured via something like iBrute, but it's certainly possible. It's probably my gut feeling is that it's no coincidence that Apple fixed this over the holiday weekend. After this happened, but we don't, you know, we just don't know for sure.
Right. And so now the system is a little more secure, but we don't know how much more secure. We don't know if other behind the scenes changes were made as well. And like you said, we don't know how many of these photos truly came from iCloud accounts.
Yeah, I noticed that Mary Louise Winstead, who is a particular actress, as I quickly go and look, I think it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She tweeted, there were lots of tweets from lots of celebrities over the weekend involving this. I know that Kirsten Dunst actually said, thanks, iCloud. But Mary Winstead said, knowing these photos were deleted long ago, I can only imagine the creepy effort that went into this, feeling for everyone who got hacked. Reading between the lines, I don't even think it's reading all that much. I kind of wonder whether or not her pictures could have come from PhotoStream in the first place if they were deleted long ago. It seems like they were found elsewhere.
Or maybe she didn't understand what deleting photos really
means. Exactly, that's true. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways that could go. Yeah. So I don't know. It's Apple has a potential PR hit on its hand here.
Yes, they do. And there's no easy way out of this for Apple because people will get the initial piece of information, oh my God, Jennifer Lawrence nude photos on the internet from iCloud sort of thing. And most people aren't going to follow up on that.
That's true.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter what Apple says or does, they end up with a PR hit out of this. Now,
but Apple still needs to be open and honest about whatever it finds, be it these didn't come from iCloud or they did come from iCloud.
Oh, absolutely.
Either way, Apple needs to be very upfront about it.
Now, my assumption is that if these photos came from iCloud, that we're talking about people that did not have two-factor authentication enabled.
Yes, that does in fact seem like it would be the case. And in the piece I linked to the old primer I did a year ago, more than a year and a half ago, on setting up two-factor authentication, this is a fantastic reason to have it.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Does two-factor protect your photo stream, though?
It would keep someone else from being able to access your account from another device.
It would? Are you sure?
You have to okay the devices that can.
Oh yeah, that's true. I just went through this. I'm not convinced that you have to okay them for PhotoStream. You have to okay them for iMess. What was it? Because I just set up a new computer.
If you're doing the keychain sharing.
Yeah, that's right. That's where you need to do the two-factor thing. But I don't think you need to do it for PhotoStream or mail or anything else. That's part of the issue with Apple's two-factor is it's not all-encompassing for your account.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. You're right. It's for iCloud keychain. It's for your iTunes purchases, I think, you in order to authenticate. I wish I'd known we were going to go here. I would have gotten the list. But it's almost certainly not for PhotoStream.
Well, that's a problem. Apple needs to fix that.
Yeah. But it's tough, right? Because it means rewriting every app that does it, you know, or doing what Google has done, where you create, you know, app-specific passwords. It's not a simple problem to solve for an existing authentication mechanism because there are things that are built on it that have no provisions for two-factor, which is why Apple's in the boat that they're in with that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. And then we still have the underlying problem, which is someone thought it was okay to violate multiple people's privacy on a very profound level.
Well, welcome to the internet. I agree with you, but that's a different conversation. But people should be up in arms about this. But acting surprised that this happens is not something people should be doing.
Right. I am not surprised. I am disappointed and upset.
Yes.
The bad guy here demanded bitcoins to let people see the images. And according to Business Insider, who checked out the blockchain for the Bitcoin address that was used, the bad guys netted the as Engadget put a princely sum of $95.
Jeez. Wow. But don't spend all that in one place.
Yeah, well, what's fascinating is that all the media that has covered this is going to make thousands of times that amount. Mm-hmm. from all the traffic that this generated.
That's true.
Code. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's interesting. Yep.
Yep. So, all right. So what it comes down to is if you want to take nude photos of yourself and you have someone that you trust enough to share them with, that's between you and them. It shouldn't be between you and anyone else, but unfortunately that seems to happen. And there you go.
You know, it comes down to what I tell my kids all the time. The internet's like Vegas. What happens on the internet stays on the internet.
There you go. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we are out of time. Thanks, both of you, for joining me today.
Of course.
And thank you, Brian, for taking the time over the weekend to keep everyone up to date on what was happening with these issues.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, you guys rock.
You rock, too, Jeff. Thanks for having me.